Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this morning. We've got so many wonderful things going on here at New Life Community Church. We thank you for the VBS program that's going to be happening this week. Thank you for the Boundary Waters trip that was just wonderful for so many of us. And Lord, we thank you for Summerfest that's going to be coming up as well, and all the ways in which this church family comes together to serve you and to love you and to love the community and those outside. And Lord, I also just want to thank you so much for the generosity of this congregation. The fact that we've already got $10,000 extra dedicated to the Acts 434 fund so that those of us that have needs can have those needs met. That it's true in this congregation that there are no needy persons among them. So Father, we just thank you so much for who we are as a congregation. Thank you for what you have made us. But now, Lord, as we look at your word and we look again at husbands and wives, Lord, this is deep and this is difficult and this is hard and there's very complex questions that are involved in it. And everybody's flesh is involved in it and we get confused because of our flesh. Our flesh presents these questions and complexities to us that we think maybe give us a reason not to obey you. But Lord, we just ask that you would help us all right now, that we would just quiet our spirits, that we would humble our hearts, that we would soften our souls for you and just listen, and that, Lord, you would speak this morning. This isn't a sermon from Ben Hunt. This is your word, Lord, and I just want you to use your word, all of your word, the grand sweep of all of the Bible to help us understand what is man and what is woman. We love you. We dedicate our time to you and ask that you change us. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So yeah, we have been talking about submission. We've been talking about marriage. We've been talking about men and women, all very difficult topics. And so if you're visiting with us this morning, you are jumping into a work in progress. We've been working on this for 4 or 5 weeks now, discussing through what it is to be a man, what it is to be a woman, and in marriage. And so I might say a bunch of things this morning that might sound new to you, or I might say things that you're like, where's that coming from? I just highly encourage you, those of you that have missed the previous messages, or if you're visiting this morning and you've got questions about what we're going over this morning, that you just go back and listen to those messages. We've worked very, very hard to arrive where we are today. And so there's all kinds of caveats that we can give around men and women and around submission as a topic. And so I just encourage you to please go back and listen to those things. And of course, if you have any questions, please feel free to email me as well or talk to me after the service or some other time during the week. I would love to discuss this. This is very, very deep. And not only that, but I've had a lot of feedback from a lot of people. And so it's really helping me to continue to shape the messages in a way that is meeting the needs of the congregation so that we all have a good understanding of what's going on. And if there's anything that I'm missing, some things that are really confusing to you, it's good for me to know that so that I can work on that and shape things in that direction. Okay, so thank you. But this morning we are going to look at submission yet again. And one question that has popped up is, what about personalities? Because plain and simple truth of the matter is, all of you gals out here in the audience, in the congregation, you are not wired the same. You are very different from each other. And so submission is not a personality type. That's the title of this message. It's not about a personality trait. Our text for this morning is Ephesians 5:21-23, which says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is Savior. So this morning, we're going to have a little bit of fun. Today, I want to discuss things that the Bible does not directly address, and yet, the Bible has plenty to say on the matter. And because, man, oh man, wouldn't it be good if when one of you gals came up and approached me and asked, yeah, but you know, Pastor, I'm a born leader, and my husband is a born follower. I don't like saying it, but I'm definitely smarter than him. I'm more gifted. I'm more energetic. It's clearly more beautiful. I'm a natural born leader. Don't you think that I should have the leader role in the relationship? And man, oh man, wouldn't it be nice if Paul directly addressed that? If he said specific words to that? If Ephesians 5:22 was more read like this: wives, respect your husband's leadership, even if you're smarter, more gifted, energetic, and beautiful than he is. But the Bible doesn't say that directly. It doesn't directly address that. It doesn't, personality type, those two words are nowhere in the Bible, and it's so prevalent in our culture. We've got the Enneagram and Myers-Briggs, and everybody's talking about personality types all the time, trying to discover themselves and all that. And there's wonderful gold in all of that, but sometimes we can go, well, I was born this way, and so this maybe trumps what God has to say for me in the Bible, and so I need to address this. So in order to do that, we need to discuss what are masculine traits and what are feminine traits? Because every single one of us here this morning, we are all a blend of masculine and feminine traits. And gals, you are all wired differently. Some of you are more feminine than others. And some of you, by the end of this message, hopefully you'll understand this a little deeper, but some of you are more masculine in your traits. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. So I want to give this morning, because there's such a spectrum of personality, I want to give the quieter girls a voice, the softer, more vulnerable girls a voice, but I also want to give you more confident girls a voice, like you need the help, right? I want to give you guys a voice too, because it's easy to misunderstand this, because the Bible, a lot of times we come to the Bible and it says, well, you need to be quiet and submissive and all that stuff. And all you girls that have something to say and you're driven and you've got goals, it's like, wait a second, that doesn't sound like me. Does that mean I'm evil? You know, so I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. And not only that, but I want to talk about it because us men, we're married to different women. And the men who are married to the very bold and confident, fearless women, you have a different job as a husband than the man who is married to the quiet, vulnerable type of woman. And so this should be informative for all of us. So, point number one, the Bible points out masculine and feminine traits, okay? Let me just ask you some questions. Here's what I want to do. Let's just talk about, I don't want to say stereotypes, but that's, I suppose that's down our avenue here. What I want to do audience participation, okay? I don't want you to respond with who your wife or your husband is. I want you to respond with your understanding of what masculine is and what feminine is, okay? So I'm going to ask you some questions, and these are going to be, as you answer out loud to me with either male or female, okay? That's what you're going to do. We're going to see how how much in agreement we are when it comes to masculine and feminine, okay? So here we go. You answer with masculine or with male or female. That's your job. First question. Which gender is typically more tough? Which gender is typically more verbal? Which gender is typically more logical? I knew Leah was going to say female. I don't know why. Which gender is typically more compassionate? Which gender is typically more physically strong? Which gender watches war movies? Which gender watches chick flicks? Which gender is more single-minded and driven? Which gender is more collaborative, ensuring that the whole group has a voice? Which gender is more needy? I knew that was going to get you too. Which gender is more self-assured and even arrogant? Which gender is more understanding? Which gender is more protective? Which gender is more nurturing? Which gender is more aggressive? Which gender is more intuitive? We have agreement, ladies and gentlemen. How did we arrive at this agreement? That everybody virtually, except for when they were joking, answered the same way. Good. These are the stereotypes, and the stereotypes are there because they are generally true. They may not be specifically true to every single individual, but they are generally true overall, and the Bible has given us examples. They have been true for as long as man has been around. This is what God was getting at when he determined in the beginning that Eve would be made of rib. And we talked a lot about that in the first couple of messages. Does that mean that all women at all times would all look and act and feel exactly the same? No, not at all. But the generalization of male and female have been true since the beginning. But the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible somehow screams a message to all men that all men are supposed to man up. And the Bible screams a message to all women through the grand sweep of the Bible, as you look at all the different narratives and stories and commands. For women, the command is to woman up, and we have to figure out what exactly that means. The Bible has a sweeping instruction for men to provide and to protect and be courageous, to be strong and take responsibility. And the Bible has a sweeping instruction for women to care for the home, to care for the kids, to support the husband, to be gentle and submissive. And we see this all throughout the Bible. Let me just give you a few examples. We see it in the story of Adam and Eve. Adam was chastised for not protecting and not leading. We see it in the story of Abraham and Sarah. Abraham was an example of leading and courage. He was a courageous man. Sometimes he was a bad example for us to follow, where he abdicated his responsibility to protect. Think about the story of Samson and Delilah. Samson and Delilah, they are the perfect picture of what not to do. What a man looks like when he is just masculine. That's bad. If a man is only masculine, that's not good. And what does it look like when a woman is only feminine, both the negative and positive qualities of being feminine? Bad example. So the Bible, through Samson and Delilah, can teach us a lot. What about King David? A fantastic example, most of the time, of how to be masculine. David was a courageous protector and defender of God's people, relying on God when he needed to be singularly independent. When all the rest of the world was against him, he still needed to lead from an unbelievably lonely place. And us men in leadership, leading can be an unbelievably lonely place. But a man can handle that in his independence because his identity is wrapped up in God. What about Ruth? An example, tremendous example of how to be feminine, to be submissive, to be compassionate and nurturing. What about Peter? Peter was all man, masculine, flaws and all. But he learned, as Jesus taught him, to adopt more feminine qualities. Paul, masculine. Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary, the mother of Mary of Bethany, Mary Magdalene, all the Marys. They're all examples of what it is to be feminine. These women are lifted up for all of you women as examples of this is what good femininity looks like. The Bible shows us in a sweeping way that there are masculine traits and there are feminine traits. And honestly, it's a bit nauseating. I just have to admit, it is nauseating that I even have to stand up here and defend this, not to you, but our culture. Our culture just screams against this. You know it. I'm not going to go down that rabbit trail. But as informed as we are today, out of our pocket, we can grab our phone and look up anything we want. And as informed as we are, we have gotten stupider. We have lost our common sense. None of this would be a debate 150 years ago. Nobody would debate, yep, men and women, this is how men act and this is how women act. But today, it is a constant debate in our culture. And what's happened in our culture that has gotten us to this place is we have focused on the exceptions to the rule. Because not all women are wired the same, and because some women have more masculine traits than other women, because of that, we go, oh, okay, well, now we're exceptions to the rule. And so now we need to put this above the Bible, and this is a trump card over the Bible, so I don't have to act like this when the Bible says to. I don't need to be gentle. I don't need to be soft. I don't need to be compassionate. I don't need to be nurturing. I don't need to submit because that's just not my personality. It's not the way God made me. God made me this way. And we use that as a trump card. We think that, you know, while testosterone makes men more aggressive, there are some women out there who are very aggressive and they don't have a drop of testosterone in them. They're running on estrogen and progesterone, you know. While the general rule is women are more sensitive than men, there are men out there that are more sensitive than the average gal. And when we focus on the exceptions, air quotes, exceptions to the rule, to the degree that there are no rules, then we lose what God has intended. This is why God has given us so much instruction in his word about this. Do not lose the rule because of the air quote exceptions. They're not exceptions. There is no excuse not to obey God's word. I want men to operate this way, and I want women to operate this way. It doesn't mean that a man can't be sensitive or that a woman can't have thick skin, or that if a man is compassionate, that he has ceased to be a man and is now a woman, or that if a woman is courageous, that she has ceased to be a woman and is now a man. And it all, and most certainly, it doesn't mean that if a man is to be a man and thought of as a man, that then he needs to avoid all feminine traits. Ladies and gentlemen, the world's most perfect man, if we look at Jesus Christ, the world's most perfect man, he was an unbelievable example of a health of all the healthy male traits and all the healthy female traits. In your bulletins this morning, I'll put it up here on the screen as well. These are the general agreed upon traits of feminine and masculine. I looked at, did all kinds of research about these different things and then just compared all the lists to the Bible and did my best to modify it to this. This is what I believe through all of my thinking and study. This is what I believe are the positive male traits and the positive female traits and the negative female traits and the negative male traits. We could argue about this all day. We're not going to. I'm just speaking in generalities here, okay? But when I look at the sweeping narratives in the Bible, the things that men are supposed to be and the things that women are supposed to be and what the Bible describes, what men are not supposed to be and what women are not supposed to be, these lists are as accurate as I could come up with. But just because there are masculine and feminine traits does not mean that a man is supposed to only have those traits. The world's most perfect man was an example of these, the healthy feminine qualities and the healthy masculine qualities. If we look at Jesus, he lined up with all of these positive female traits. He lined up with all of the masculine female traits. And so men, if you are to be a man that is like Jesus, you are supposed to exemplify all of these healthy feminine traits. And ladies, if you are to be a healthy, as you are doing your best in your own personal sanctification, God's design for you is that you work on this, that you add these healthy masculine traits to your own personality, to your own being. So I think it would be good for you to circle, not now, don't worry about doing it now. We'll do it at the end of the service when we do kind of the, we'll just let you guys do some reflection time. Maybe this is what you'll want to do. In your bulletins, we've got this sheet, and maybe you want to circle the traits that you really believe are like, yep, this really describes me. And then maybe you want to circle the traits that really describes your wife, and that could create a wonderful, awesome fight for you this week to work through. But it would be a good fight to have. And it would be very good for you both to grow in these areas because this is what God made us for. Because all of us are a blend of these traits. And gals, just because you have some masculine traits does not mean that you get to break the rule for what a woman is. And just because men, you have some of the feminine traits doesn't mean that you get to abdicate your responsibility as a leader. The Bible is true or it's not. Man is the head of woman. He is to lead in a gentle and understanding way, which is also feminine qualities. He's supposed to lead that way. This is not a suggestion. It is a command. And woman is to be the helpmate. It is not the other way around. So when the Bible teaches us through story and instruction, through good examples and bad examples, it is telling us men what to focus on as men and women what to focus on as women. And really, if we follow Jesus' example and the commands of Ephesians 5, that means that the typical path for a man is to add these positive feminine traits to his being. And same for the gal, that she adds the positive traits of masculine to her being. We're all a blend of masculine and feminine in our personalities. Point number two, the Bible does not address personality types directly. Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, what do we do when the Bible does not address a specific question that we have that's heavy and weighty? How in the world do I match all this personality type stuff, language that I've got going on in my heart and soul, and line it up with the Bible? How do I mesh these two when the Bible literally says absolutely nothing about personality type? What do we do? Well, how would you like it if you came to me as a pastor and you said, hey, Ben, why don't you answer this question for me? Because I have this personality type. Doesn't that mean, like, what does the Bible have to say about that? And me as your pastor just said, Bible doesn't say anything about that. Good luck with your feelings. How would you like that? I think you would probably say, yeah, I don't think you're being a good pastor. A good pastor ought to go, okay, let's look deeper at the Bible here. While maybe it doesn't address it directly, maybe it does address it through all these stories and narratives. And what about maybe you should look at the order in God's world? You realize that this is what Jesus did? Jesus was the absolute king of illustrations. This guy illustrated more probably than, I don't know, a lot. An example, if you look at the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was the absolute king of illustration. We got just three chapters in the Sermon on the Mount, and here's the things that he used from his created order. He pointed people, look at that, now find truth from that created order. Look at that, now find truth from that created order. In the Sermon on the Mount, he illustrated with salt, light. He talked about pigs and dogs and baskets and cities on hills. He talked about hypocritical people in the culture. Look at that, the Pharisees. Look at that, the Gentiles, as well as thieves, moths, rust, clothing, barns, birds, flowers, planks, specks, doors, stones, fish, serpents, gates, roads, sheep, wolves, thorns, fruit, fire, houses, rocks, rain, and flood. That's a lot of illustration. That's a lot of look at this. Now come, let us reason together and arrive at truth. So a good pastor is going to do the same thing. So what I would like to do this morning, as we're talking about personality type, what I would like to do this morning is appeal to God's created order. I would like to appeal to two very young girls from our midst. I asked Amy Jo if I could talk about Nora and Maggie. I didn't ask Ben. Ben, is it okay if I talk about Nora and Maggie? Okay. If it's okay with Amy, yeah. Anyway, I'd like to just appeal to Nora and Maggie. Most of us know Nora and Maggie. It's kind of hard not to know Nora, especially. But these two girls, let's just reason together, shall we, about these personality types. These two girls, Nora has a nickname, Lawyer. She will argue over absolutely anything, and she will get her needs met, right? We've got Nora, and we've got Maggie, who's much softer. She's much more gentle. She's more quiet. Both of them are incredibly different. They both come from the exact same gene pool. They come from the same family lineage. They come from the same household culture, and yet they are radically different. And yet, at the same time, they're both radically little girls. They are girls. Girly, girly, girly girls, right? So, because they are very different. Now, the truth is, they weren't taught how to operate in their personality. Ben and Amy did not teach Nora how to be a lawyer. Nora came out of her mother with that in her DNA. She has all kinds of, she's very strong. She is commanding. She's got lots of opinions. Was that Nora? She got lots of opinions. She's got all kinds of goals and agendas. Nora is very driven. When we came home from the Boundary Waters yesterday, it was very interesting just to watch the reaction that Nora and Maggie had for Ben. When Ben came calling up, he's crossing the parking lot. Amy's up here by the building. I was walking towards Amy. And as Ben was calling out, Maggie, 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 like hid behind Amy. Nora, on the other hand, I came in here, she was telling people what to do in the lobby, and I came in and I said, your dad's out there, and she pushed me out of the way to get to Ben. But they came out of the world operating, out of their mother and into this world operating that way. And so Nora, if she has a need, then she is going to get it met. If she has a need and it's not getting met, well, then she's going to find the solution and she's going to do it before breakfast. And a lot of you gals are wired. You came out of your mother and into this world with the same type of wiring as Nora. Now, let me ask you, is that sinful? Is it sinful for you to have that personality, for you to be more driven, for you to be more logical? Nora is more logical than her father, Ben, is. Nora's loaded with talent. She's loaded with words. She's loaded with a brain. She can organize and run anything. It is not sinful for Nora to have that type of personality. It is not sinful for Nora to be stronger in the masculine traits. She will honor God for the rest of her life in those masculine traits that she has. Now, others of you are a little more wired like Maggie, who will hide behind mom's leg for a bit before she ventures out, who needs 4 hours of cuddles every single day, much more sensitive. Not boundary setting like Nora does. Maybe Maggie would just spend more time crying and being more fearful. But Maggie, her little heart, much more easy to break. And many of you gals are wired more like that, a little more on the fragile side. All someone has to do is just give you a sideways look, and it ruins your week, if not longer, even if the sideways look wasn't even intended for you. And so you're going to be more aware of others. That Maggie, she's going to be a sensitive girl. She's going to grow up and naturally understand and see when someone else is hurting. She's going to naturally bend herself around to make sure that another person doesn't get hurt. She will naturally, it will spill out of her, she will naturally have more compassion and more nurturing qualities because she's just wired a little more feminine and the feminine traits. She won't struggle with it as much as Nora will. So, is it a sin? If you look at Maggie, is it a sin for Maggie to have the wiring that she has in her personality? No. Maggie is Maggie and Nora is Nora. Come now, let us reason together, right? But the Bible doesn't talk about these personality types. We could infer that maybe Mary, when we've spent a lot of time looking at Mary and Martha, right? If we looked at that story, maybe we could infer that, oh, well, Mary must be more like Maggie. She must have the personality, soft, submissive personality like Maggie does. And Martha is more like the Nora girl who has the agenda and the drive, and she wanted to take charge, yes, even of Jesus. She was ready to lawyer her way into being the boss even over Jesus. We could infer that, but we might be dead wrong. That might be a total mistake, because the truth is, maybe Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet because she had the confidence to do so. She had the boldness to do so. She wanted to learn and sit at the feet like the men did. Maybe Mary was more like Nora. And maybe Martha was the more quiet, submissive type who was full of fear and got triggered and then flipped out on Jesus in her frustration, right? We don't know what their personality types were. The Bible doesn't tell us. I could see it either way. So the Bible does not talk about personality types, but it does talk about behaviors and heart conditions. And this is the main point. This is the thing that I'm trying to drive at. It doesn't talk about personality types. It talks about behavior and heart condition. This is the behavior of Mary. This is the behavior of Martha. This is the heart condition of Mary. This is the heart condition of Martha. And the Bible commands us all, regardless of our personalities, to exhibit certain behaviors and heart conditions. My primary point, submission may feel unnatural, may feel more unnatural to some, but it remains God's requirement nonetheless. Point number three, Tough girls and tender girls, they both sin and honor God differently. What I have stated at the top of this sheet here is of utmost importance. God intends all of us to display both masculine and feminine. Like Jesus, mature Christians will be a blend of these two healthy columns. And regardless of how tough a woman is or how sensitive a woman is a woman and a man is a man. But yes, there are feminine and masculine traits, and you gals are a blend of these, both masculine and feminine. But Christian submission, I still will argue, the Christian submission is indeed compassionate nurture in its nature, which is a feminine quality. And submission is not just obedience, it is a heart condition. Like Jesus, when we submit to one another, we should do so because we have compassion for the other person. Christian submission comes from a heart of compassion. That's the source of it. And we want to nurture them in their needs. As a Christian, when we have compassion for someone, we want to nurture them in their needs and hurts. God doesn't just care about obedience. God cares about the heart condition. Our goal is not just to put others above ourselves and see them as more important. Our goal is to put others above ourselves and want to put others above ourselves from a heart of compassion. And it only comes from spirit-filled compassion. So I want to give the more strong personality gals a voice here. Those of you who are wired a little bit more like Nora, okay? Because Maggie may be more naturally submissive. She may be more naturally obedient in her personality. And so then it can make Maggie look like she's more innocent and you like you're more sinful. I want to talk about that. Because when Maggie obeys, when gals who have a personality like Maggie, when you obey, and I'm just speaking in generalities here, I'm not calling anybody out sideways, okay? But when you have that softer personality, a lot of times when you're obeying, the only reason you're obeying is because you're scared to death. You're not obeying out of compassion. You're obeying out of fear of man, right? It doesn't, just because she obeys more and easier, does not make her more innocent or more good even. Because obedience based on a lie is still sinful. If she's obeying because of the fear of man, that's not compassion. That's not true, genuine obedience. She has the softer personality has more of a capacity to receive identity lies easier. And if someone looks at her sideways, she may melt. And what happens inside that little heart could be way more lie-based than her stronger personality older sister. She might believe that her parents don't love her, or that her family isn't safe, or that she's worthless, or that her parents want to leave her, right? I won't ask for a show of hands, but if I were, I bet most of them would go up, because I know you well, and I've spoken with many of you. If I could ask the softer personalities, did you ever fear that mom and dad would leave you because of your own value? I bet most of the hands would go up of those gals. All kinds of lies being believed, and it's just utter fear. Obeying, and it's the reason they obey sometimes or much of the time, is so that others will think highly of them. Or, well, at least those people will think I'm sweet, so I'll be safer. But either way, still getting their identity from people and not God. Is that any better than Nora not obeying in her own joy and certainty? So here you've got Maggie, who is full of identity lies and fear, and she's obeying. But then you've got Nora over here, who's not full of identity lies and fear. Really, she's just full of one lie, and that is, I know better than mom and dad. That's the only thing she's believing that's wrong. Where is more sin? I think we could debate that, you know? Just because someone is obedient does not mean that they are operating, you know, rock solid truth. So, Christian submission it's a heart motive. And so if Maggie is submissive from fear, I would argue that's not Christian submission. That's just fear. Christian submission has a heart motive, and that is compassion. The devil loves to take advantage of both soft personalities and strong personalities. Okay, so that stronger personality, here's what is typical, okay? And again, speaking in generalities, not calling anybody out sideways. Let's say that you have a more Nora type. That's your personality. And parents leave the training to the devil. They aren't amazing, wonderful parents like Ben and Amy. Rather, they just let it go. They let you and your nature go. And let's say she is not taught. You are not taught to how to be sensitive to others. You need to be taught how to be sensitive. Maggie needs to be taught how to not fear people and be afraid of people all the time. It's just a different struggle. Do you see that? It's different sin, but it's sin either way. The soft ones will have a particular kind of sin, and the tough ones will have a different type of sin, a different struggle. So if Nora and Maggie are unimpeded by their parents, and the two of them play all throughout their childhood, who will get their way most of the time? Nora and Maggie, they're playing together. Who will get their way most of the time? Nora will. Nora will be taking and thinking nothing of it for the most part. She won't even be thinking about how it's impacting Maggie, right? She won't be thinking about that. She'll be thinking, I'm playing with Maggie. She is being entertained by me. Everything is fine. As long as she doesn't try to change the arrangement, we'll be good. I am being gracious and loving to Maggie by playing with her. She should be grateful to have such a wonderful, providing older sister. And truth is, okay, so all you stronger personality gals, I bet that probably rings for you. You know, like, yeah, I do provide a lot. And that's true, okay? You gals who have that stronger personality, amen. Because what about those stronger personalities? Think about all the quiet ones, all the quiet people huddled up in a corner, and they're not doing anything. They're just kind of staring at each other awkwardly. And then one of you stronger personality gals pops in and says, hey, let's play this, or let's do this, or let's talk about this. That is a service that you provide in your leadership. You are providing an opportunity for fellowship and connection. That is a good thing, right? Okay. So, Nora isn't completely wrong for appreciating her own act of service. But what the devil does with that is not surprising. The devil gets in there and says, well, not only do you provide, but you do a good job of it. And you can get your identity from that performance. Since you can perform so well and you can get appreciation from others, this is what you need to keep doing. And so you just keep performing, performing, performing. And guess what? The devil's twisted it. Now it's not compassion driving you. Now it's performance and fear of man driving you yet again. The devil gets into any and every situation. So we can see how these two different personality types can honor God differently and sin against God differently. Again, speaking in generalities. If you have a more resilient gal, one who has more masculine traits, who's more goal-oriented, more driven, more logical, she may struggle to allow her man to lead, but she must anyway. And she needs to obey Scripture when it says to be gentle and submissive. She needs to cultivate her compassion. She needs to consume her thoughts with the needs of others. That might be one of the hardest things that she does in all of her life, but it is her burden to bear. However, at the same time, she honors God with her fearlessness and her courage and her stability and her strength. Those are ways in which she is sinning a whole lot less than somebody who's softer. While the more tender gal will struggle with fear more, and she will be less stable, and yet she is commanded by God to work on these areas, and it may be the hardest thing that she does in her life, but it is her burden. God wants a woman who can laugh at the future and be incredibly secure in her identity. So that will be more difficult for the more tender girls, but she will have an easier time with compassionate nurture and caring for others' hearts in tender understanding. So they sin against God in different ways. They love and honor God in different ways, each bearing a heavy burden as they strive for sanctification in different ways. Now, I don't want you to think here, while I am speaking in generalities, I don't want you to think that I am calling anyone out as far as a stronger personality with the women among us that are less submissive than the quieter personalities. Let me say that again. I don't want you to think, to walk away thinking that just because a woman has a stronger personality, that automatically means she is less submissive than others. That doesn't mean that. You could have a very quiet woman who struggles with submission more than a stronger personality. So, while submission may feel more unnatural to some, it remains God's requirement nonetheless. Regardless of how difficult submission is for you, regardless of your personality, it does not give you an exception to God's word. Just because you have, this is it, just because you gals have more masculine qualities and strength, that doesn't mean that you have to be, that you don't have to be compassionate and nurture. What it means is you have to work on your compassionate nurture just like us men do. That's what masculinity will buck against. Masculinity will buck against compassion and nurture. So if you have more of the masculine trait, you just got to do the same thing us men do, which is, I got to work on that. That's the place where my sword needs to be sharpened. Because this is not, submission is not just an act, it is a heart condition. And when we submit, we should do so from a heart of compassion. See, for most of us men, it is a struggle for us to have natural compassion and nurture. Usually we're just logical about it. We're not quickly understanding the pain that people are enduring. Usually we're seeing that that pain is just getting in the way of our agenda and our goals. And for us to stop and pause and truly care for someone in pain is not natural to most men. It is something that we need to embrace as our burden, as our cross that we need to work on. It's an area of sanctification for us, and possibly one of the hardest things that we will do in growing in our sanctification. So gals, if you have that more masculine trait, that does not mean that you don't need to have compassionate nurture. It means you need to lay your life down and you need to lay your agenda down, just like us men need to do the same thing. We have to lay down our agenda and focus out on the needs and the hurts of others. Give our heart to them, lay down our life for them. You need to learn this in the same way that us men need to learn this. And this is what Jesus did. One of the most significant identity statements that Jesus said about himself was this, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I am humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. For most of us men, and for you gals who have more of a driven type of personality, a more masculine trait, as opposed to an outward collaborative focus, this needs to have our attention, both men and women. We should not stay this way or excuse our lack of compassion based on personality. Men and women, I hope you're listening to that. We need to have soft hearts when it comes to others. When you find yourself having frustration with other people's needs, you need to recognize that that's not your personality, that's your flesh. It's not a personality trait that you're having problems with, it's your flesh that is acting up. And it's a struggle that you're having there. Your flesh is being selfish in that moment, and it's trying to make sure that your wants remain a higher priority than others. It's not about personality, this is about the battle between flesh and spirit. When we are submitting, the state of our heart ought to be compassion, just like Christ. Just close by Philippians 2, verses 3 and following. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others more important than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant and being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and he became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Submission may seem more unnatural to some. It's unnatural to all of us, but it remains God's requirement nonetheless. Husbands, pursue compassion as you submit to God, as you submit to others, and as you submit to the needs and hurts of your wife. And wives, pursue compassion as you submit to God and to others and to the leadership of your husband. Why don't you take a minute to discuss the message, write down some thoughts, start a fight with your spouse if you like, and I'll pray here in a minute. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word, and we thank you that we can rely on it, that when we do have tough questions, like the ones that can pop up in our culture that are so confusing and complex, we thank you so much that your word offers us so much to look at. And even beyond that, Father, we just thank you so much that you made a world that we can depend on. There's order there. We can look at things like flowers and planks and specks and houses and hypocrites and arrive at truth. Thank you for giving us that. Father, I do pray for every single person in this room. We've got men here that need to adopt more masculinity into their personality. That's their struggle. They need to work on it. We've got females here that need to adopt more masculinity into their personality. We've got men that need to adopt more feminine into their personality. Lord, we are all on a journey in this, and I just thank you so much that you give us good direction for what we ought to become. Lord, I just pray that every single person really does become that perfect blend of all the positive traits of both masculine and feminine. We love you, and do pray for our conversations going forward here about this. Pray for the husbands and wives, and that this is incredibly informative for them and how they run their household. We love you. Christ, and we pray. Amen. Okay, before you all hop up here, we are going to do our Red Sand project here together. Megan Stutzman has a few words for us here. Why don't you come on up, Megan?